with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
We just imagine the church really lived like he coming. If we really believe that he could come in our lifetime, and he can. He's closer today than he was 50 years ago. We're 50 years closer to his return because he coming. They didn't believe he's coming the first time, but there was a segment of people was looking for him. He came. They had discerned the time, said, "Messiah coming." That lady that was Samaritan say, "We know that Messiah coming. And when he come, he going to teach us everything." And Jesus said, "I that speak to you am he." The one she's waiting on, standing there talking to her. Oh, me and Cece was talking about it going down to New Orleans. We were talking about, we saw them clouds out there. It was so beautiful. I said, "Cece, he coming back on one." And it's the Bible said, every eye going to behold him. And then she said, "I wonder if there's going to be a trumpet sound where the whole earth hear that sound. It's supernatural going to happen because they're going to see him everywhere. Everybody going to see him. They're going to look up. Everybody going to be like, whatever you're doing, you're going to stop what you're doing. Where that sound come from? That's him. And us that's in him, we're going to say, hey, Jesus, over here." Oh, Lord, we all be singing, "Please don't pass me by. Please don't pass me by, gentle Savior." Praise the Lord. See, Paul lived like he's coming in his lifetime. You got to live like you believe he's coming tomorrow. And it'll keep your actions in check. Because you don't want to be found doing something wrong. You know, I don't know how all this judgment stuff going to work. I know I'm in him, but boy, I just don't want to be caught doing wrong when he comes. You know, he see things different than the way we see them. He don't think like we think on this. He have a different mindset than what we got. But when he come, it's going to be 100%. In the will of God. Ain't gonna be no deviation. Amen. Paul said, "I'm convinced that he that began a good," everybody say, "a good work." What kind of work he doing in you? See, it ain't a bad work. Most people in the world think that God is doing a bad work in the church. They look at the church and it's a bad work. All them people believing in God. They look at it bad. Y'all pray, bad. You go to church, bad. You give your money, bad. You help one another, bad. God's done a good work in us. Hallelujah. Right up to the time of his return, listen to this, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. So God, if I let him work in me, will be developing me and bringing me to perfection. Now, perfection, that means maturity. That means where I will have understanding of spiritual things and spiritual truth and spiritual reality, which means that as I mature in the Lord, I see things less and less like the world see them and more like Jesus see them. How would you like to see things like he see them? That's the truth. Amen. And the world can laugh at you and scoff at you and talk about you and make fun of you, persecute you, want to strip you of all your, everything you believe. But I'll tell you what, you stick close to God and he'll be showing you the reality of what's real. And you won't go along with that foolishness. Amen. Look at Philippians 2:13. The Amplified Bible says, not in your own strength. Not in your own strength. That means this ain't coming from you. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. It is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. Say this, God is effectually at work in me even while I'm speaking. Amen. And then the Amplified says, energizing and creating. He's creating something in me. He's giving life to something in me. He's energized. He's supplying energy. He's supplying strength. And he's creating in me the power and the desire. So when I let God work in me, he's going to supply some power, some strength, and then he's also going to create some desires in me that maybe wasn't there. He created a desire in you. Let me tell you what that desire is. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what God is doing, one of the things that he's working in you, creating a desire in you to please him. Say this, God's working in me, giving me the strength and the power to do what is pleasing to him. So one of the strongest desires in your heart ought to be the desire to please God. The desire to please God has to be one of the weightiest desires in your heart. It have to outweigh everything else. It have to outweigh your desire to please your husband or your wife. It has to outweigh the desire to please your family. It has to outweigh the desire to please your boss. It has to outweigh the desire to please your friend. See, that's how peer pressure come in. Because the desire to please them gets stronger than the desire you have to please your parents. You know, when a child little, they just want to please their mom and daddy. And mama says, I can't do that. I ain't doing it. But as they get older, that pressure begins to work on them. And now their desire to belong, that desire to fit in, that desire to be a part, that desire to be identified with, sometimes gets stronger than the desire to please God or to please the parents. Now catch this one right here now, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Your desire to please God has to be greater than your desire to please yourself. I mean, you know, the desire to please yourself is a strong desire. I mean, how many of y'all want what you want? How many of y'all want it your way? Tell the truth. That flesh don't like to admit that. That's that prideful part of them coming out. But every time people make a decision, they make a decision based on whether I won't do that, whether I desire to do that, whether that's going to please me. And then some people say, let's go do that. And they say, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What I'm going to get out of it? How this is going to help me? How this is going to please me? How this is going to bring me satisfaction? But when you understand that one work of the Holy Spirit, not all of it, one work and a major work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to work in your heart and to give you the will and the want to do what pleases God. He's creating in you the desire to please God. And every child of God needs that desire in them, big time. Because when you cultivate that desire to please God, and that is the greatest desire in your life, then you will also obey God. See, obedience is the fruit of the desire to please God. How many of y'all see that? When you want to please God more than anything else, you just do what he tells you. Lord, if it please you, I'll do it. All I got to do, no, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Even though I might not want to do it. I might not want to do that, but if that's what you want, I'll do it. I might not want to go there, but if that's what you want, I'll go. I might not want to do that, but if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. I might not want to say that, but if you want me to say it, I'll say it. Sometimes the Lord give me something to say to somebody up here. And I said, no, Lord, I don't want to say that. What if I'm wrong? What if I miss it? What if I'm prophesying or giving them a word out of my own heart? Lord, please help me not to do that. So I'll be praying that. Lord, please don't let me do anything out of my own heart, out of my own soul. If this is not the Holy Spirit, stop me. And then if it just keeps getting stronger and stronger in my heart, then I know that God is saying, I want you to do it. Amen. And then I just go ahead and do it, and then the fruit comes. It's good. So what's one of the greatest desires that God's creating in you? The desire to what? Come on, where y'all at? The desire to please him. So you have to cultivate that desire every day. Lord, I just want to please you today. That means that if you really want to please him, then you're going to do what he tell you. He's giving you the power and the desire both to will and to do what's pleasing to him. That was the overwhelming desire in Jesus' heart. So the Holy Spirit is working in us the exact same desire that Jesus walked with and lived with. Because Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear him say.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous means grave, dangerous, critical, hazardous, serious, unsafe, risky, desperate, menacing, life-threatening. There's probably no more perilous situation than war. But as perilous as war is, we can have situations right in the church that mirror this destruction. What a demoralizing experience it is to be hurt by church folk. When the Lord saves us, what a wondrous expression of love we feel toward everybody. And since we feel that way, we take for granted that all those in the church have the same feeling we have. Soon we find out that not everybody has that same love. Violent acts of burglary, robbery, rape, murder, terrorism, drive-by shootings have impacted many lives. Others have been affected by physical, mental, and verbal abuse, gossip, backbiting, and character assassination. What a challenge to face life after such violations. Psalm 41:9 says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. One of the most awful pains we can experience results from betrayal by a friend. You expect your enemies to do you wrong, but when you call friends, stabbing you in the back is close to unbearable. Sometimes it's a lover exposed.